Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and today we are going to be talking all about the adventures of the film community here in Portland. Allison Hallett is with us. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
Allison is the Education and Community Engagement Director at the Hollywood Theater. Her latest project is Movie Madness University. It's a new classroom program at Portland's video rental hub, and it'll be unspooling, so to speak, in the new Miniplex screening room that's recently been unveiled. But first, we have a couple of local filmmakers whose debut feature is having its premiere. It had its premiere at the Portland International Film Festival. These two are co-directors of the coming-of-age film Thunderbolt in Mine Eye, and they just happen to be siblings. Welcome, Sarah and Zachary Ray Sherman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, you are the screenwriter as well as the co-director, and you and your brother Zach, you started out as teenage actors. This is your career start. Tell us about your start in the film industry.
Yeah, I mean, I want to preface it with, like, we loved what we were doing. We were not, like, forced into being, like, teen actors or anything, but it was great. We loved the arts from a really early age. We were born and raised here, took acting classes with the children's theater and all of that, and as we got older, Zach kind of kept acting, and I segued into other art forms and finally kind of found my way back to writing.
There's a really terrific actress in town named Sharon Lee McLean. Mm-hmm. She works all over the stages. It looks like you know her.
She's wonderful, Allison. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
the best. She's amazing. I hope she can hear this. But she's terrific, and we ended up randomly in some class that was in a Burnside loft. I was I was just a kid. I mean, I think we're 12 or 13, and she took us through the processes of acting and all these exercises. And I remember just going like, "Holy crap, this is amazing and so strange!" And you can do this. And Sharon Lee, I always credit as kind of the beginning of the pursuit. And she's the best. She actually
and we got to have her in this film. She plays one of the characters' moms. So that was a fun full circle. Yeah. Moment.
Well, now you're returning the favor. You're coming full circle. You have been directing teenage actors in this film, Thunderbolt in My Eye, and it's a love story. It's frank. There's a lot of talk about sex. It's coming of age drama. And tell us a little bit more about the film and what people can expect when they go to see it.
It's a look at first love. You know, the first time you have that feeling land with you and how monumental that is. It's a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old who live across the street from each other, Harper and Tilly. And Sarah, kind of jump in with...
Yeah, I mean, Zach and I, we spent a long time in L.A. together trying to get features made, trying to get a TV show made, and we finally kind of came back to the drawing board with, like, what we always knew, which is, like, we just have to make something on our own because it's just... We're sick of years passing and waiting for other people's money. And so we wanted to make something that we could do really low budget, do it here in Portland. And this is kind of what came up for us, like a little coming of age story.
Like you said, you're Portland born and bred, mm-hmm. and you came up as actors in Portland, but you wanted to continue in the film industry, and a big way of doing that is going to L.A., and Zach, you did that. You did a little micro feature on your own. You shot a feature-length film in 10 days for $10,000. It's almost unthinkable.
Sure.
But that gave you the fuel to come back here and do this whole community-based feature. This is your... debut as a directing team.
As the Sherman siblings.
As the Sherman siblings, right. But this is like what, like, tell us a little bit about the adventures of, I mean, did you have like moments where you thought, this is just not going to happen at all?
Oh my God.
Daily.
I thought he was going to be like, no. And as I'm like, all the time, so much. I mean, one of the cool things about having two of us is that, like, in that realm, we really balanced each other out. That's something we say about things, but I really mean it for that. You know, like, you'd be like, we are never going to get the money for this. And I was like, it's fine. We got it, you know? And then, you know, me being like, just whatever, it would flip-flop all the time. Yeah. I kept thinking, like, if I had to be the only, like, voice in my head about this, I would be, like, losing it.
Fail,
trying to make a movie is always kind of nuts, but trying to make it for such little money, and, you know, we were doing crowdfunding right through pre-production, right up until we filmed. It was just so much going on, and Zach, you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, you know, the average feature film takes several weeks to make. And in fact, you know, Stanley Kubrick would take months, if not years, sometimes. You somehow pulled this together in 14 shooting days. And people were telling you, no, you can't do this in 14 shooting days. You did. And not only that, you did what everybody tells you not to do. You worked with kids, and you filmed in your own home.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes me laugh thinking about Zach. Like, I feel like there would be moments when we were filming when because we'd been like, we're going to shoot something really easy that we can do and, like, showcase ourselves as siblings. And then, like, cue to, like, working with a 15-year-old who, like, has to have school every day. You know, like, just it's not the easiest thing or whatever.
Right,
so
we barely had a shoestring budget, and we had to afford for a studio teacher.
Right.
And only could get Quinn in front of cameras for 7 hours or whatever. He's the lead in the damn film. It's like we're setting ourselves up for so much obstacles. But we made it work. I mean, that's kind of the thing about micro-budget features in any artistic endeavor in my mind. It's like it's all determination and knowing what you're getting yourself into and setting yourself up for success in delusion, maybe. You know, you just convince yourself you can do it, and I think you do.
Let's actually mention, you talked about your lead actor, your two leads. You actually they're local, they're Portland folks, and you sort of swiped them off of a set that you were working on. You were working on a series in Boring, Oregon. It was a Netflix series called Everything Sucks.
Right.
Unfortunately, only lasted 1 year, and you played a dad.
Yep. Yeah, I was cast. My buddies Ben Jones and Mike Mohan are really great storytellers out of L.A., and they have this fantastic show called Everything Sucks, which you can still see on Netflix. And I was cast as it's a coming of age 1990s look at what it's like to be in high school, you know, your freshman year and being introduced to high school in I think it's 94.
So you're playing your own dad pretty much.
Essentially. Yeah, it was so weird when I get into like period clothes like that, and I also just did this play in the 80s. I feel like my dad when I'm wearing certain clothes. It's strange. But yeah, I did Everything Sucks. I played one of the lead boys' father. And I saw Quinn at the table read for the show, and I could tell this, he was really, really good. His instincts were really sharp, and he just has all the ingredients of a fine actor. And I told Sarah about Quinn, and she was writing Thunderbolt at the time. I said, I think this is the guy, and that was kind of the seed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Anjani was also on the show as well. They're terrific actors. When people see the film, I think they'll agree. It's what makes the movie work. Their performances are just so locked in, and the minutiae's right there. It's really impressive, and that's them. You know, that's them.
And you brought in these actors, young actors, really trying to up their game. Mm. You brought in crew that you had met, you know, through your community. And this is all local folks. And this was obviously like a well-oiled machine that was able to do this project in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just teamwork. You know, we said this at the screening the other night. Like, it's about who you surround yourself with in my book. And when you get people who are better than you and more skilled than you and smarter than you, you've got a good start. And we have that in our DP, and we have that in our editor. We had that in the actors. We have that in each other, you know.
I think it's also about, like, this is going to sound, I don't know, cheesy, but, like, hiring kind people.
Mm.
Like, I think Zach and I have a certain... We just want our set to feel like we like the humans that are around us. And so hiring people that, you know, instinctively you can just tell, like, you're a good human and this feels good to be around you. That really helped.
Sarah, I want to ask you a little bit more about Thunderbolt in My Eye, about the script that you wrote that won some funding. But first, we have a clip for you right now from Sarah and Zach's feature debut together, and this film played as part of the 43rd Portland International Film Festival. So let's roll the trailer for Thunderbolt in Mine Eye.
Pepper Ann, are you having sex with Tilly Dodson?
Hey, Crandall Robert.
Hey, do I need to hide my sister?
Wardrobe infraction.
You're going to be going to parties. I don't know what you're thinking.
Dude, you're 9 months older than me.
What's up with your girlfriend and Liam Harwell?
Why are you always asking about my girlfriend?
I don't know, Harper.
part of me just thinks that we should...
That we should what?
Break up.
Him for sure.
Virgins.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser. And we're talking about the Portland film community today with the sister and brother filmmaking team of Sarah and Zachary Ray Sherman. Allison Hallett is also with us from the Hollywood Theater. And we will talk about the movie Madness University in just a few moments. But first, Sarah, the script for Thunderbolt in Mine Eye. What do you want to reveal? No spoilers here.
Well, it's a kind of, it's sort of a blueprint of like the seemingly mundane, but actually like life filled ins and out moments of a young people's relationship, I guess. You know, when I wrote the script and I started sending it out to friends and people we wanted to be involved, like people generally had a really like positive, like, this feels like my life 15 years ago or whatever in high school. But the funny thing about it is that it's really not very plot driven. It's kind of like kids getting into a relationship, kids maybe getting out of a relationship. But I think I was excited to kind of find life in all those like in between moments of how young people relate and how they find themselves in romantic situations and just the awkwardness and the strangeness and the newness. I was really interested in that. And yeah, our actors did an awesome job in bringing that to life.
Well, you are a mom yourself, but you're a mom of a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, interestingly,
society, I think they're listening right now.
Society has changed. Society has changed a lot. Like, you know, just in the last decade, the decade of the electronic device and screens everywhere. Mm-hmm. And society kind of looks and feels very different from when the two of you were teenagers. Yeah. So, I mean, what was your touch point to relate, to make a contemporary story about being a teenager and relating to the world at large and to your peers?
It was a little scary in the beginning because I didn't want to be, for all I knew, I'm just some grossly out of touch 30-something, you know, like I didn't know if what I had to offer would really connect. But in that sense, I just really like dug into my own, not even my own experiences, but my own like feelings as a teenager, because my experiences were really different than what these teenagers in our story go through. But I just remember feelings I had and the way I've always been an observer and like to watch people. And I just remember watching other teenagers when I was a teenager, maybe wishing I was in a certain situation. And those memories and feelings have stuck with me. So I really kind of started from there. One thing that was kind of subconsciously important was not having technology be this really prominent part of the movie. Obviously, that's a huge aspect of just today's society and teens. But that's something I really just feel like I can't speak to because I'm not a teenager these days. I don't know what that's like, how that interaction exists in relationships. And so I just didn't want it to distract. Like, I wanted this to be about humans connecting and show that even though teenagers today are having different experiences than what I know, they still are humans. They still want the simple things that all humans want. And that felt important and exciting to me.
It's neat because there are elements of them being on their phone somewhat and texting each other, you know, the 2020, 2019 vision. And there's politics they talk about. And it's very now of their communication. But what's really great, when we screened the other night, our 85-year-old grandpa was there. And he talked to Sarah afterward. And, you know, he's seen my first movie, and this was his first time seeing Thunderbolt. And he told Sarah it brought him back to those feelings of being that age. And I just thought that's so dang cool that, you know, 60 years later, these kids are texting each other and talking about meeting at the food carts, you know, a world that's so different than his was. Yet he's tuned in to those inner heart feelings through whatever the hell we made.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, you can do world building, of course, when you're the screenwriter. I've had Greg Rucka on the show, who wrote Stumptown, the comic that's become the series. And you notice that in the series, they do play down the technology. People have mobile phones, but they also, when they're looking through files, they're looking through paper files. It's very 20th century. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all that stuff is really on computers nowadays. But you get to build the world. You get to get the things that are true and not necessarily facts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you, so we mentioned you have kids, young kids. So how was that? How was that being a mother of a, at the time, a toddler and an infant, mm-hmm. when you're filming in your house? I mean, was it, I mean, I suppose it was good to have a co-director next to you.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way I could have done that just mentally, emotionally without a co-director, let alone specifically like that being my brother. It was insanity. I mean, when I think back to it, I think, what was I doing? I mean, that was like borderline not healthy because I was pushing myself so hard out of necessity, you know, obviously just being a micro-budget feature. But also, I mean, I have to just acknowledge like the many privileges I had. I haven't had like I had so much support in people taking care of my kids. And yeah, it was nuts, but we somehow did it, and it being on my block was a blessing and a detriment, where we'd be down the street at my neighbor's shooting, and I'd, like, hear my two-year-old being like, Mom, from three houses down, you know, it's like, we're filming.
Yeah.
Hi, Agate. So it was wonderful and horrible and all of the things, but we made a movie.
and you were able to make that movie with really great cast and crew, in part because you were able to pay them well, and you were able to pay them well because your script won a funding source and involved the Duplass brothers, the directors behind the Puffy Chair, Cyrus and Jeff. These sort of legendary, well, people call it mumblecore, mm-hmm. but they are now helping fund movies through Seed and Spark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were so lucky. We had been done our crowdfunding on Seed and Spark, and we had been entered into a competition where whomever won would be, their film would be executive produced by the Duplass brothers. We had to enter because we love their work, and it speaks to us and has encouraged us a lot in our own work, but we never thought we would actually win. The strangeness of it kind of continued in that we wrapped production before the winner was chosen. So that was an additional reason we thought there's no way we would be picked. We just made our movie. And 4 days after we wrapped, we found out that they did pick our movie. So they've been huge guides in the post-production process.
Oh, so they came in and actually had conversations with you as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we were really lucky to get their guidance and feedback. They gave some great feedback on several rounds of the movie. That was beyond helpful. And then a lot of guidance and stuff that was pretty new for us, just navigating some of the festival processes and distribution. And just they've been very generous with their resources. They have a really awesome team. Yeah, we couldn't be luckier. We still are like, wait, they produced our movie?
Yeah,
it's very
the
strange
best.
And
we,
awesome.
We really lucked out. They're the best. Yeah.
So what do you think? What's next for you? You seem to have... Are you going to try to make more projects here in Portland? Or
we sure are, yeah. I think Sarah's got a film that she's written that they're working with some friends here and in L.A. to get off the ground that I think will be filmed. It takes place in rural Washington, but that could easily be filmed here. We were just talking to Oregon, the film office, and they're excited about future stuff. I'm writing a micro-budget that I hope is my final micro-budget that I plan to act in and direct, which will be nuts. But I'm up for it. And Sarah's always writing stuff. I mean, I think that's kind of it. What keeps me excited is just to juggle and keep a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Sis?
No. Well, yes. No, we just plan to keep making things together. But I think we're excited about what the future holds for us in terms of shifting roles. And some things I'll write and direct, and Zach will act in. Some things we might direct together. Some things one of us will just produce. And it's going to be neat to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, I'm really into theater, too. I'm an actor, first and foremost. And it would be great to do some theater in Portland as well. So who knows?
So Thunderbolt in Mine Eye has been making the rounds. It started at Slam Dance, mm-hmm. And then PIFF, and then what next?
Next, we're going to be doing a little extension of Slam Dance down in L.A. in just a couple weeks. It'll be the Emergence Showcase at Arclight Cinemas. After that, we're going to be in Newport Beach at the end of April, which we're really excited about.
And I think we're going to be up in Canada, at a festival, Calgary.
Yep.
And there'll be a few more around the corner, which we're excited about. But yeah, we're just stoked to share the film with audiences. You know, sharing it the other night at PIFF was incredible, and it was neat to see how much, like I talked about with Grandpa Ray, but just, you know, random audience members have been tweeting at us and sending messages across social media and reaching out to us over email, and it really connected, and that's the job, that's the goal, so it's neat to see it a success.
And Portland audiences, Northwest audiences, if they want to find out more about this and your other projects, how can they keep abreast of that?
They can get us on Twitter. The film is Thunderbolt Eye on Twitter. I'm Zachary R. Sherman. Sarah's on there as Jordy Lives, I believe.
Yeah, we've got a website that's just thunderboltinmineye.com. We kind of keep that updated.
And we think we're on Instagram, too. You can find Thunderbolt there and us. So just you can stay tuned that way.
Okay, Sarah and Zachary Ray Sherman, stay with us. There's much more to come. You're all listening to Words and Pictures today. I'm SW Conser. We're going to take a very brief musical break, and when we come back, we'll find all about Movie Madness University with Allison Hallett. And we're back now with Allison Hallett. Allison is the Education and Community Engagement Director at the Hollywood Theater. Her latest project is Movie Madness University. It's a new classroom program for adults who want to find out more about film history, genres, and movements. Allison, this is happening at the brand spanking new Movie Madness Miniplex.
Yeah, we are so excited about this. So can I give some background on Movie Madness and Hollywood and how all this went down?
Yes, yes, yes. This is actually a little impressive little room. It's got like all kinds of like channels of sound and everything in there.
Oh, yeah. So when the Hollywood took over Movie Madness, which we did after running a Kickstarter campaign a few years
ago. Right, this is to let people know this is a video rental store that has been around for ages. But it's not just a store. It has all of the independent, crazy psychotronic stuff, but it's also like a museum of movie memorabilia.
Oh yeah, we have some incredible props. We have like the ear from Blue Velvet is there, the knife from Psycho. I mean, it's if you haven't been into the store, please go to the store
and check out this. It's my favorite place in town.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I'm thrilled that I get to work there.
So it used to be a for-profit place until being for-profit was no longer a thing, and now it's a nonprofit.
Exactly. So a few years ago, we knew the store was on the verge of going out of business. The owner approached us to see if the Hollywood might be interested in taking it over, because the Hollywood Theater is a nonprofit. And so we thought, okay, you know, this store has a collection of 80,000 plus titles that is an absolutely irreplaceable archive and resource. Like, we owe it to the city and to the people who love film to try to keep this thing together. So we ran a Kickstarter, raised, our goal was $250,000 to save the store. And then our stretch goal was an additional $100,000 to build a small movie theater in the back of Movie Madness. Mm. So we didn't quite hit our stretch goal. We made, I think, $315,000 was actually what we ended up raising. But we were able to cobble together the rest. And for the past, I don't know, year or so, we've been working on building this miniplex, we're calling it. And so it's this really great 18-seat micro cinema in the back of the video store.
Yeah, this is one place where you don't have to worry about a gathering of 250 or more people.
Exactly. Yes. And we do free screenings there just about every night of the week. Anyone can just get a ticket through our newsletter and come in and check out what's going on. But we also just launched this education program, which is what I've been charged with. And so we've been working on this, putting this together for a few months. I actually we launched the call for instructors. I went on maternity leave, had a baby, came back, started this program. Right. So that's what we're doing now.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
You're giving birth to all of these things all at once.
I know it's been a hectic few months, but so we just launched the first round of spring programming. We got a great response.
So tell us about the spring programming.
Absolutely. So we've got six courses total. Each one consists of 4 weeks. They're 4-week courses, one night a week. So you'll do Tuesdays for a month. And the course titles include Legacies of Black Queer Cinema, which will dig into some sort of foundational Black queer filmmakers with a local film programmer and videographer, Ariella Tai, is teaching that one. We've got a course on David Lynch. We've got a course on 70s cult horror films. We've got a course on women in documentary films, which I think is going to be a really solid one. So,
and the and you tie in some rentals that are available in the store, because and this has come up before. If you go to Amazon or Netflix, all these places that have, you know, supposedly all your old favorites, they have like less than 100 titles from before 1980, at least.
Yeah, it's actually, it's really shocking. I mean, the streaming services kind of give this illusion of like unlimited choice. But if you really dig into what's actually available, Netflix has like 3,000 titles. We have 80,000 titles. It is not comparable. Mm-hmm. So part of the goal of this program is to encourage folks to dig into the collection a little bit. So we'll be offering some free rentals. We'll have instructors recommend additional titles that people can look at if they want to learn more about these specific subjects.
So you're continuing this into future times. You've as you say, you've recruited people from the community to come in and do this teaching. And what was the criteria, and what could people expect when they sign up for these classes, or you know, look into signing up for these classes?
What can people expect out of the experience, or
this is obviously, you haven't gotten, you hadn't had a chance to get feedback yet.
Right.
This is just jumping in at the deep end.
Yes.
This is the beta version. People get to be beta testers.
That's right. So our instructors all have some teaching experience. So we found folks who, you know, one of our instructors works at Northwest Documentary, another works at Northwest Film Center and teaches script writing. So we've got folks who have some experience. So each class they'll do a little introduction to the film, set up some context, some history. We'll watch the film, and then there will be a facilitated discussion afterwards. That's the plan anyway. Like you say, this is all new to us. So yeah, we'll see what works and what doesn't. But.
And Portland has a reputation. I mean, distributors come here if they have an independent film especially, and they might shop it in Portland to see if there's an audience. And some really huge breakout hits like Bubba Hotep, for example, have gone huge because the reception in Portland is big.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this town, the film community here is outrageous. And the level of knowledge among film fans, I mean, we've seen this for years at the Hollywood Theater. We have really dedicated audiences who love film, who want to learn more about film, who've actually been asking us for something like this for a long time, some opportunity to sort of meet other film lovers, participate in discussions, that sort of thing. And this, actually, the program launched yesterday. We have 100 tickets available, and we've already sold about 60 of them. So the initial response was great. And I should say that the pricing for tickets is, or for a one-month course, is $60 for Hollywood Theater members and $75 for the general public.
Well, Allison Hallett, for those listeners who might be interested in broadening their knowledge of cinema, how can they get in touch with Movie Madness University?
So visit us on the internet, hollywoodtheater.org/MMU is the best way to find out more.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. Hey, thanks to all our guests today, Allison Hallett with the Hollywood Theater and the filmmaking duo of Sarah and Zachary Ray Sherman. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @WordsAndPicture.